This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Sam Stein, managing editor at The Bulwark. I'm with Andrew Egger, who is dealing with illness and yet still coming on Bulwark Takes. This is like the Michael Jordan flu game of Bulwark Takes.
Exactly. Yeah, play and hurt.
It's going to be a remarkable performance. People will talk about this for ages. We just watched two pretty impressive briefings. One was Trump's cabinet briefing, which included a sort of North Korea-style intro with all the cabinet officials heaping praise on the guy. And then the other one was another North Korean-style moment where the Department of Defense held its first press briefing today, and it featured a new slate of Pentagon correspondents that were willing to sacrifice all their integrity and dignity and sign a pledge to say they wouldn't report on basic functions of the Pentagon. Andrew watched the Pentagon one. I watched some of it, but I watched mostly the Trump cabinet one. So dealer's choice, we're going to start a Trump cabinet. Sorry, buddy. So yeah. We could go in one of two directions here. One is like the serious news and the other is the sort of laughy stuff. I'll go with serious because I'm a serious person. So this, obviously, it's what people
That's
are
true.
This was the first time that the press got to ask Pete Hegseth what happened with the double tap strike in the Caribbean on September 2nd. And Hegseth kind of broke some news here, and I'm not quite sure what to make of the significance of it. He was asked, what happened with you specifically? Did you sign off on that second strike? Because up until this point, last night, in fact, Hegseth was tweeting, well, I support what happened, but it was a subordinate who actually directed it. And he kind of disavowed ownership of the strike while saying he approved of it. And this is what he had to say when pressed about it at the cabinet. Andrew, you pick up on the flip side.
Now, the first couple of strikes, as you would, as any leader would want, you want to own that responsibility. So I said, I'm going to be the one to make the call after getting all the information and make sure it's the right strike. That was September 2nd. There's a lot of intelligence that goes into that, building that case and understanding that. A lot of people providing information. I watched that first strike live. As you can imagine, at the Department of War, we got a lot of things to do. So I didn't stick around for the hour and 2 hours, whatever, where all the sensitive site exploitation digitally occurs. So I moved on to my next meeting. A couple of hours later, I learned that that commander had made which he had the complete authority to do, and by the way, Admiral Bradley made the correct decision to ultimately sink the boat and eliminate the threat. He sunk the boat, and eliminated the threat. And it was the right call. We have his back, and the American people are safer because narco-terrorists know you can't bring drugs through the water and eventually on land if necessary
to
the American people. We will eliminate that threat, and we're proud to do it.
So you didn't see any survivors, to be clear, after that first strike?
I did not personally see survivors, but I stand, because the thing was on fire. It was exploded in fire, smoke, you can't see anything, you got digital. This is called the fog of war. This is what you and the press don't understand. You sit in your air-conditioned offices or up on Capitol Hill and you nitpick and you plant fake stories in the Washington Post about kill everybody, phrases on anonymous sources not based in anything, not based in any truth at all. And then you want to throw out really irresponsible terms about American heroes, about the judgment that they made. I wrote a whole book on this topic because of what politicians and the press does to warfighters.
Yeah, Pete Hegseth, real anti-air conditioning. I think he has his office set to 82 at all times because that's what real warfighters do. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on there. The narrative he is painting, we should be clear, is not necessarily implausible, right? I mean, like, we had that very insane Washington Post story that raised a lot of questions about this. Last night, we got some New York Times reporting that suggests, you know, maybe there's more like wiggle room in some of this stuff than the Post story had suggested. It could be the case that Hegseth, you know, did not have, as he said, did not have that specific knowledge of the double tap as it was happening, had not given a specific command for that to take place. The way he says, he had to get on to something else very important, like, you know, putting Mark Kelly on blast on Twitter or something like that, whatever the next thing on his schedule was. So that's plausible. It's interesting here because, like, there's levels to this thing, right? I mean, if the Washington Post story originally suggested, which is that Hegseth had not only ordered this double tap, but had sort of like explicitly ordered this double tap to kill the survivors in the water, that would be kind of open and shut just a war crime, right? Or murder if it's not actually war. I mean, like, there would be almost nothing else to say about it. The narrative that Hegseth is putting forward is more defensible in certain respects, but it is also, we should not forget, still taking place in this environment of like bizarre, like extra legal, extrajudicial attacks on these boats in the first place, right? So like if his narrative there is true, then we're kind of back to where we thought we were, you know, before this Washington Post story came out at all, which is this insanely dark place anyway, right? But not necessarily this open and shut thing that
I guess if let's just take him at his word here. And I will just note, not that it matters significantly, but you could tell in his answer, he's looking down at the paper in front of him. He's reading. So this is obviously something he had, you know, pre-planned, which is fine. Happens. But if this is true to his word, then would Admiral Bradley be the one who committed the alleged war crime?
Not if it were actually the case that the thing that was still being targeted was this damaged but not yet sunk boat. I mean, then that was sort of what the New York Times reporting suggested, is that maybe the target itself had not been like fully taken out in the first strike. I mean, what you're getting into here is this story where these guys are snuggling right up like to the very edge of the definition of what might be construed as legal under these stretch. You know,
what happened here, as Hegseth says, is that he had to go, congratulated them, got out, and that they didn't bother to alert him to the fact that they had to take another strike at the boat. Right. They didn't cross their mind to say, hey, can you just make sure that the defense secretary, who prides himself on being, you know, on top of all these matters, he said it in his answer, you know, you're the defense secretary, buck stops with you, you want to know what's going on. And he, in fact, said on Fox, he had watched the whole thing live, they didn't bother to say, you know what, before we launch another strike at these two survivors in this boat that Pete Hegseth himself claims was up in flames, smoke everywhere, fog of war, we're not going to call him. We're just going to do it. I mean, look, maybe that absolves him of some, you know, serious legal problems, but it certainly doesn't look good from the perspective of, hey, we trust that the Secretary of Defense should be looped in an incredibly important strategic matter. And maybe I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Maybe that's just normal standard operation. But it is notable that, according to his own retelling, he was not looped in on this.
Yeah, and I don't want to miss the forest for the trees here, because it is obviously really striking to see Hegseth and Trump both, you know, retreating to this posture of, well, you know, I didn't have all the specifics at the moment it was carried out. You know, they're not admitting any fault. They're not admitting anything wrong happened. But it is interesting to see them sort of like retreat to that sort of like more tactically defensible space.
Yeah, and it's happening. And again, not to miss the forest for the trees, it's like this is a incident in a broader march to war that is happening, right? I mean, we are, and there was another moment in the cabinet meeting where, and it's not even getting that much attention, but basically the president says that we're going to start doing this on land. I mean, he says, let's listen to the clip right now about what the next phase in our actions against Venezuelan drug smugglers, and I guess in relation to the Venezuelan government, is going to be.
And we're going to start doing those strikes on land, too. You know, the land is much easier. It's much easier. And we know the routes they take. We know everything about them. We know where they live. We know where the bad ones live. And we're going to start that very soon, too.
So there you have it. No equivocation. We are going to start strikes on land. I mean, it's not even like we're going to seek authorization. We're looking at strikes on land. We're debating whether to do so. We are going to do it. We're just marching, in effect, to some sort of low-grade war, it looks like. Bulwark Takes is sponsored by Aura Frames. This holiday season, I have a lot more gifts on my list than good ideas. If you're looking for something with a real personal touch, I have it on good authority that Aura Frames will crush it. The producer who wrote this ad attests that the Aura Frames he gave his family were a hit last year. In fact, Sarah Longwell has one in her office that she swears by. I've seen it. Looks nice. You can upload unlimited photos and video. Just download the Aura app and connect to Wi-Fi. It's about that easy. You can preload photos before it ships and keep adding them anytime from anywhere. If you want to send your parents photos of the kids, you can load them right onto your Aura frame. Trust me, my Jewish parents love photos of my kids. Each frame comes in a premium gift box with no price tag. You can even add a personalized message for your recipient before the frame arrives. For a limited time, save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $35 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames, named number one by Wirecutter. Use promo code BulwarkTakes at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code BulwarkTakes. This deal is exclusive to listeners and frames sell out very fast. So order yours now to get in time for the holidays. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
Not to sort of waylay your plans for how this is all going to get laid out or anything, but I wanted to bring up
go one ahead,
from
buddy.
The Pentagon briefing that touched on this exact thing. This has been this very weird moment in time, right, where, as I'm sure everybody out there is aware, the Pentagon Hegseth kicked all of the sort of like traditional mainstream and also trade press, defense press, out of the Pentagon press pool because they wouldn't sign this sort of like some semi-loyalty pledge. Everyone's familiar. So we got this first briefing today of kind of like the new guys. It's a bunch of right-wing like MAGA influencers and folks like Laura Loomer.
And you were impressed
O'Keefe
by their work.
And
you
Matt
loved
Gaetz
it. You
was
thought
there.
It was great journalism.
Well, let me get into some of that because there were some like ridiculous questions and really amateurish stuff as well. But there were also some semi-sharp questions as well, because MAGA, like as a body, is not humongously excited to go to war anywhere, and certainly not in Venezuela. I mean, like they're you got some like hardcore America Firster isolationist types who think that, you know, getting entangled in like a shooting war on the ground in Venezuela would be a humongous mistake. So let me cue up this clip of this reporter Bradley Devlin from the Daily Signal, basically cueing up Kingsley Wilson, the DOD press secretary, to comment on that.
53% in a recent CBS YouGov poll said they support the strikes on these drug boats, but 70% said no military operations within Venezuela. Nevertheless, members of Congress are increasingly calling for regime change there. What's the Department of War's message to those members of Congress?
The Department of War stands behind the president 100%, and we will execute on the orders that our commander-in-chief gives us, and we're proud to do so. That will continue. And again, any decision that is going to be made about certain military actions in the Western Hemisphere region will be the president's alone.
So you can kind of see the tension there, right? I mean, like Devlin is trying to kind of cue this up as these calls for regime change and these calls for war, these are coming from certain sort of bloodthirsty neoconservative types in Congress, right? And like, right, these are people the president hates. So it's like, it's trying to put that on them. But then, you know, Kingsley Wilson gives this total non-answer that's like, well, look, like we're going to hit him if we want to hit him. And meanwhile, you have Donald Trump out here who is increasingly just talking openly about the fact that, yeah, this is actually the plan, right? I mean, like, we're going to be going in there and doing this stuff. And it's just, I don't know. It really does feel like we're just sleepwalking into it.
It was like the sort of like perfect question for a MAGA reporter, which is, we don't like what's happening here, but we're not going to blame the president, even though he's chiefly responsible for that.
Right.
The second thing is, I think I could be a press secretary. Honestly, I think I can do it. Like Kingsley Wilson, she just throw some AI slop. Might as well. We stand behind. It's like you could throw anything at me and I'll just say, yeah, we stand behind the president. That's not that hard. I want a little bit more flavor from the press secretaries. Like, come on, give us a little like something to work with.
We could do a whole video on her. I mean, like, she's very, very raw and new at this. I mean, like, she's done a couple of off-camera briefings all year.
I want to do a video where I pretend to be the press secretary and you throw, like, insane questions at me and see if you can get me, like, off topic. I bet I can do this.
Well, I'm just saying, I think you would probably do a better job. I mean, like, in she just, even in this, like, real home field advantage situation, obviously this is not really the point of what we're talking about right now, but, like, she accidentally referred to Pete Hegseth as the Secretary of Defense at one point, which, you know, their whole thing is that he's the Secretary of War now. She weirdly, like, acknowledged unprompted that you know, experts have analyzed that their strikes on Iran only set back their nuclear program 2 years, you know, which is not really the kind of thing they like to talk about. So it's like it was very plain that she was kind of green. Yeah. And yes, I think they ought to put you in, Sam. I think you'd do a good job.
I think we could do a feature here where it's like, you know, see if I can like pass the test. But that's for another video. This is where I think Trump's like, you know, for as many flaws, like the guy, you know, you got to give him that he has a little flavor to these briefings, except when he's not staying awake. And this is the other issue, the more comedic issue from the cabinet meeting, which was there are various times during not the question and answer session, but when the cabinet officials were lavishing praise on him, where he clearly was drifting. And we have a little bit of a montage for folks to watch. And you can judge, like, this strikes me as midday nap style head bobbing. I've been there. Like, I'm not judging. I appreciate a good midday nap, but I'm not the president. So let's take a look, and you can tell me if this is full sleep, half sleep, how you grade it.
Pilot programs that we're putting out there. And if these are going to work,
leg up always and make sure that we're paying attention. And we want our workforce to be educated.
Global coalition of countries that line up behind the peace deal, behind the border peace. And it's still every day is a challenge, but it's been driven personally by the president. It's the reason why we're involved in this whole Ukraine. Russia conflict. That's not our war. It's not the president's war. This war started. It never would have happened if you'd been president.
I mean, I've been there in, like, you know, high holiday services, hour one and a half, and I'm just drifting and I do the little head jerk thing. That to me is like, what? You don't think
no, that is. Yeah, that is the most relatable he has really ever been in these moments. Right. I mean, it's like it's very relatable in the specific sense that, like, a lot of times you're in a place where you want to be there. You're like, you were excited going in. Like, I don't know. I've gone to, like, classical music concerts or something like that, where I'm like, this is going to be really fun. And this is Trump's thing. Like, he gets all his favorite people around him and they just butter him up endlessly, but it drags on. It's all a little bit the same and he's heard it all before. And before you know it, he's nodding off. He's also, like, come on, man, get it together. You wanted to be here. But
wasn't he posting I think he posted over 100 times through the course of the night. So he, like, got no sleep. He really was
really scrolled. Something. Yeah. He went on a real Truth Social binge last night. Also relatable. The doom scroll was very powerful for the president all night long. Last night.
One post a minute and he, like, went over 100. So he was up there all night scrolling. Of course, the man is going to be tired. I don't begrudge him.
He had a post after this binge. He had a post, like, right before 6 a.m. that was something like, I just love Truth Social. You know, it's, like, the best site out there. He's like, he really, really was feeling himself this morning, you know, like, out in the echo chamber of his social media platform, just throwing chum to the fans all night long. And yeah, and you end up nodding off a little bit in the cabinet meeting the next day. That's the way it goes.
The guy doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't do drugs. This is his drug. Like, he gets high on this shit. No wonder he was staying up all night. No wonder he was snoozing this morning. All right, last bit, sort of point of personal privilege because it's a local issue, but he did weigh in on one of the DC region's airports. He does not have particularly good things to say about Dulles. I'm going to zag a little bit here, but let's listen to Trump talk about Dulles and what he wants to do with that particular airport.
We're also going to rebuild Dulles Airport because it's not a good airport. It should be a great airport, but it's not a good airport at all. It's a terrible airport. It was incorrectly designed with a good building. Actually, it's got a beautiful terminal. Saarinen was the architect, one of the greatest architects in the world at the time, a great architect. And so they have a great building and a bad airport, but we're going to turn that around and we're going to make Dulles Airport serving Washington and Virginia, Maryland, et cetera. We're going to make that into something really spectacular. We have an amazing plan for it.
I mean, okay, I know that everyone hates Dulles, no doubt. I get it. It's the people movers. It's the fact that you go into the terminal, got to go all the way and get on those people movers, go to the other place where the gates are. He's right that the terminal itself is architecturally very nice. It's quite beautiful. I don't mind Dulles anymore. I think it's actually okay. Like, it's never, I mean, there are very problematic parts, but if you get there and you don't have to wait in that horrible security line, let's say you get there early, it's a totally fine airport. The dining options are serviceable. I don't think it's particularly packed compared to a lot of other airports I've been to. I'm fine with Dulles. If he wants to make it nicer, whatever, have at it, get rid of the people movers. But I don't think it should be like the top issue for the president.
Yeah, I don't know. They could make Dulles like the most majestic, beautiful, wonderful airport in America, and I still would never want to go there. It's just way too fucking far. You know, like Reagan, right there in Arlington.
Reagan?
The Southwest Terminal at Reagan. It's got like
how
six
do you pronounce
gates.
Dulles, too? Yeah, pronounce that a little funny.
What?
Dulles and Reagan? Nah.
Dulles and Reagan. How do you say?
Like Dulles.
I didn't say Dulles. What are you talking about?
Dulles.
We're like half an hour into this video, and you're nitpicking my pronunciation.
Yeah, like the president.
Reagan. What is happening right now?
No.
We're going to have to cut all this out. The DCA, the one in Arlington, the one where you show up, you know, like 25 minutes before you're supposed to board, and you zoom right through security, and you know, it's like a 1 minute walk to your gate. Like I used to fly out of there constantly when I was a campaign reporter a few years ago. I have brand loyalty for Reagan until I die. All you guys can do what you want with Dulles. I will never go.
In the end, it is an easier experience to do Reagan, but I think Dulles gets a bad rap. I'm not anti Dulles. I'm not even anti the people movers, honestly. It's kind of enjoyable. Unless they crash, then that's not enjoyable. All right, buddy, I'm just so impressed at your ability to make it through this bulwark take, barely able to eat, barely able to breathe. You're sick as a dog, and look at you.
I might vomit.
At least you didn't
actually
do it on there. We'll find out soon enough. All right. Andrew Egger, yeah. Author of The Great Morning Shots, and I'm Sam Stein, managing editor of the Bulwark. Subscribe to this feed where you get a whole host of different discussion topics, including the status of the DMV's airports. We'll talk to you soon.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more and sign up. Terms apply.